Blog Talk Radio.
Time now for Lydia's Literary Lowdown on Greater Good Ministries Radio. Join Lydia at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern every Saturday and get the lowdown on today's popular authors, publishers, and pundits. Lydia's Literary Lowdown, right here on GGM Radio, every Saturday, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Welcome to Lydia's Literary Lowdown. I have with me one of the kindest, nicest, most approachable, and responsive literary agents I know. One of them, Jordy Albert. How are you, Jordy?
I'm good. I'm good, Lydia. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Oh, it's an absolute privilege. However, I have to say, we were in the green room right before the show started, and I have warned Jordy that the timer on Blog Talk Radio is a little off. So we're in mid-conversation when all of a sudden it says, your show will go live now. I have to say, what a pro you are for responding, because I would have still been talking, quite frankly. Now, for the audience listening, if you've heard me interview, say, Jessica Sinheimer, whose name I always mangle, but if you've heard me interview other agents, you know, I'm not really interested in the questions that we always can find online if we need answers to them. I'm more interested in Jordy as a person. I'm thrilled that she loves The Shawshank Redemption as much as I do. And I kind of wanted to structure this like a beginning. So I was asking her in the green room about, obviously, at some point you were an intern and an assistant. They're not the same thing, are they, Jordy?
They could be. They might do different. They might have different responsibilities. Like an intern might just be responsible for reading and giving critiques and things, where an assistant might actually help responding emails and things.
Which is amazing. I mean, whenever you entered that world, was it brand new, sparkling, shiny, new, amazing, all the information that you kind of got to absorb in that position?
It was a lot of fun learning this side of the industry, because I've always loved to read and always wondered, you know, how a book actually made it to the shelf. So, and this is like sort of the beginning.
But what a wonderful beginning. I mean, I guess my misconception, because I can totally see where you're coming from, my misconception is I would be in there all over the reading material as quick as possible. The sad fact of the matter is that you probably learn fairly quickly that some of the reading material, there are gems. I mean, you even refer to your inbox as a treasure hunt, which is, can I just say, fantastic, because a lot of, there have been generic, unnamed literary agents who act like their query pile is kind of like digging through the garbage. You almost refer to it as a treasure hunt. You never know what you're going to find. And was that one of the most interesting things about being an either intern, assistant, both, that you get to lay eyes on it and develop kind of gut instinct almost for what works?
Yes, that was one of the most exciting things when I first started, getting to actually see queries and just see the different ideas out there and really getting a feel for, you know, what might what I might want to read further. Just, you know, getting a real feel for this submission process and getting my feet wet, I guess.
Was there anything that surprised you? Because I can't even imagine. I mean, there's so many different little minutiae that we don't consider. We as writers, we don't necessarily consider that education that you receive as an intern or assistant. Does anything kind of come to mind that surprised you about the process?
Just how many queries that we see.
And
I really had no idea.
I try not to interrupt. I warned Jordy before the show started. I warned her so hard that I suffer from interruptitis. I'm doing my very best. I swear I actually have had my hand over my mouth already a few times. How many queries they got is what shocked you. And is that something that still goes on? Because not only were you an intern assistant, but then you were at a couple of different agencies, and then, oh, excitement. You decided to form your own, which is the Booker Albert Agency. And if you want to check it out, people, go to thebookeralbertagency.com. Everything spelled just the way it sounds, or you can just Google Jordy Albert. I'm a lazy person. I Google.
That's good.
But, so how many do you get loads and loads of queries even now?
Yeah, there are times where it might slow down, like summer or the holidays. But, yeah, we're still pretty busy, so.
Well, you did a great thing on Twitter the other day. And if you need to follow Blue Dragonfly 81 on Twitter. One thing you did I thought was absolutely outstanding is that you chose five random submissions, five random queries, and gave a quick reason for why you were passing on them. And they were really reasonable, really well thought out. You know, after I knew you did that, I had to run and see. So I looked and I thought, nice. Those are very nice. There wasn't criticism. One thing that you said to me that I think a lot of writers struggle with, and it doesn't matter how many times a literary agent says this, it really has to resonate with you because you see good work all the time, but you kind of have to, it has to really click into place.
Right. It has to be outstanding. It has to stand apart from all of the other submissions that we read.
And that's where you learned that eye. I mean, whenever you started out, that's when you learned that eye for what works and what doesn't work for you. And the other thing is, I'm sure you're kind enough to tell people, this is an objective opinion. Hey, look elsewhere. Do you know what I mean? But in a nice way, because I said it totally rude. Anyone who's listening to your voice knows you're sweet. You can just tell.
Aww.
No, it's true. I come off as a cynic. I don't know what I come off. I don't want to know. Please don't answer me that question. Was it incredibly exciting to go out on your own and create the Booker Albert Agency?
Definitely. My good friend Brittany and I, we had talked about it for a while, and we were just like, well, why don't we? We have a few clients and we have a couple deals, so why don't we make a go of it? And we just started talking a bit more and we're like, okay.
Was it nerve-wracking at all? Because I just think, you know, obviously I'm going to look at Query Tracker and other places, and you see so many agencies. Was it nerve-wracking at all, or was it exhilarating because you had the clients in place?
Right. Well, it was a little bit of both because it's our agency. It all rests on our shoulders, and if we don't come through for our clients, you know, we have to answer for that. It's our responsibility to see that our clients are represented to the best of our ability. So,
but I can't imagine any greater excitement than getting a deal. And then being able to, I don't know if you published it, if you throw it at Publishers Marketplace or not, it doesn't matter if you do or don't, because at some point the deal's going to be announced anyhow. I can't imagine how joyful it must be to see the Booker Albert Agency on there.
So exciting.
I would be getting, you know, ARCs or copies of the client's book and just geeking out. Incredibly.
Oh,
well,
definitely.
And by the way, I know you're asked this now and again, but what was every deal has to be exhilarating. Was there any difference in the first deal that you made, or are they all like you want to dance around the room and scream in a good way?
I want to dance around the room and scream. I'm so happy for my clients when an editor is passionate about their work and they're going to get to see it in print. So it's so exciting for everybody involved.
Do you ever go back when it's in print and actually read the book?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would, too. I'm a compulsive rereader. I didn't think I'd ever ask you that. Are you a compulsive rereader as well?
It depends. Like, if it's a book that I love, yes. But if it was okay, then maybe not so much.
That makes perfect sense to me. And, of course, it all started with your love of reading anyway. Now, I'm not going to ask you what your favorite book is because there are too many. But is there any genre you lead towards? I know on your site, and just for the audience here, Jordy likes middle grade in the genres in there, contemporary, fantasy, action, adventure, or historical. In YA, she likes sci-fi, dystopian. I can never say this word, Jordy. You're going to have to help me. It's really sad. I don't know if you have these handicaps, okay? But I learned to read really early, and I haven't even told you this one yet. One of the first things I mispronounced was hors d'oeuvres. I looked at the word, and I said, whore devours.
Aww.
It's sad, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to try and say this. She's also into post... Oh, God.
Apocalyptic.
I did it. Okay,
yay!
I'm sorry. It's really sad when that's a groundbreaking moment for me on a show, but it is. Okay, you like contemporary and historical and YA as well, but you're open to looking at other subgenres. And right now you're really, well, I think across the board, you're looking for YA that has a very strong romantic element and new adults coming new on the scene, and you're in the market for new adult contemporary romance. And just to refresh my understanding, because sometimes new adult confuses me, but Jordy, you've talked to me before, you know I get confused very easily. Isn't that, I could be wrong about the age, but is it 18 to 25?
Yeah, like college age or a little after. Mm-hmm.
And romance. You're also looking for contemporary and historical romance. That's an adult, right?
Right.
And then you're open to YA, LGBT, and you'd like to see YA or NA romance, and I love this. Set during World War II and or in the 1920s with a time travel element. Do you have any idea how awesome you specifying that is? Because the thing is, that's awesome. I would read that, and you just, I mean, why don't you just write that? Because I swear, just putting that down, I want to read it, just the way you've described it.
I don't know. It popped in my head. I love that. I love those time periods. A lot of things going on in history, and like with a time travel twist. I thought that would be so cool because I also love time travel.
So are you a fan then of, oh, well, never mind. Okay, I'm trying to stay away from specific books. It's really hard. It's really hard because there's so many good books out there. But I have to tell you, I read that, and I already want to read it. I read your description, and it is a happening time. And if you could squeeze a romance in along with action, that would be awesome. But to add time travel, it's like a recipe for the best gourmet chocolate you've ever had in your life. And I have to say, I would imagine chocolate probably plays a very big part in your life. Chocolate, caffeine, maybe 5-hour energy shots, because let's just face it, you work and work and work. It's like, I don't know, I think there are people who think that agents sit around with a cigar in one hand and a martini in the other, you know, that you're kind of looking over things and kind of snobbishly rejecting them. Nothing could be farther from the truth because you work a lot. How do you schedule time to read fun stuff into any day?
Right. It's really tough because a lot of times I'll spend, you know, 10, 12 hours a day just responding to emails, reading clients' work, reading other submissions, submitting manuscripts. It's really hard. I try to set time aside a week, you know, a couple hours a week that that I get to read for fun. But it's really hard.
I'm just shaking my head in misery. It doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? Like that part, I appreciate all you do for your clients. I really do. If you should go to the BookerAlbertAgency.com. Why? Because you can see some of the awesome stuff that Jordy represents and get an idea for your comparable titles if you want to submit to her. That said, what I see on her site, I would be more than happy to buy and read, which, I mean, is that something you yourself ever look at, that you have this fabulous site and that people can come and they can look at these, the great cover art, the amazing premises, and you're kind of showcasing them to the world in that way? Is that ever, does that ever, during a 12, 16, 20-hour day, does that ever give you a little extra?
Yep, I'll go on a couple times a week just to check for typos and things, and the covers will always catch my eye, and it always makes me smile.
I love
see
it.
The covers. And
and it's a good site, too. I mean, it's a great site where you can find everything you need to know. For instance, don't send Jordy short stories or nonfiction or poetry or mystery thrillers or suspense. They are not her thing. Okay, so don't send her that, because that's one of the things you have to confront every now and again, and I've been dumb enough to do it, but or ignorant. Let's not use the word dumb, because, I mean, a lot of people, when they start writing, they finish the book, and I was one of these people who was really ignorant of the process, and they just send it to you. Being prepared all over online, you can find information on queries, on synopsis, on submissions, and thank God on the BookerAlbertAgency.com, there is a specific submissions page. That is a boon, and I'm going to gush to you over it because you deserve it. There have been many times I've wanted to query people and there aren't submissions, and then I smack myself in the forehead for not looking up interviews with those agents where it says, yeah, I want a one-page synopsis. I only gave them 5 pages. And then I'm kind of going insane, but I don't think I can go where I've kind of been born and birthed into the world. Now, now I asked you this before, you like series too. I mean, just outside, we're talking about fun reading. We're not talking about your clients reading. We're not talking about submission, just fun reading. You're a fan of series as well.
I am.
I love them. I mean, we were talking about Game of Thrones because you're also, see, the thing is though, how often do you have to DVR something because you're so busy working?
Just about all the time.
And then, you have two little eensy hours, two minuscule hours to have fun reading time. So if you're, saving things to your DVR, when does Jordy get DVR time?
In the morning.
like
I wake
what,
up really 3 early.
3 a.m.? Good Lord, woman.
Yeah, I'm up really early. In fact, I've been up reading at 3-4 o'clock already.
It is one of the best feelings in the world when you pick up something and you can't let it go. You can't put it down. It permeates your day.
Yes.
That has to be fairly rare.
Yeah, I wish it happened more often, but. When
but you're really
does.
Nice, and that's the treasure hunt. That's the fun
Aww.
Bit.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing is you like featuring travel as well, competitions, tournaments, all of that. I think that's absolutely fascinating. They need to go back to, like, the Olympics in Germany and do some sort of time travel thing with that. I'm not clever enough. I'm not talented enough. And, one thing is some agents try to write themselves. You've not gone that route, right?
I haven't. I've always liked stories, and so if something ever did pop in my head, that would be great, but I don't have time, and I have writer's block really bad. I try to sit down, and I mean, even when I was in college trying to write papers, I'm like, now what do I want to say? So
but I bet you're not addicted to semicolons. Because, there has to be some sort of, and I'm just in hypothetical range right now, there has to be some sort of benefit to being a literary agent who writes. Like, I mean, what I'm saying is, if you decided, right, if something came to you and you just had to pursue it, you had to at least see where it went, because you're really pragmatic too, I'm sure. You're like, yeah, well, I'll just see where it goes and that's that. But don't you think you would be able to look over that manuscript better than maybe your average writer, because you know what to look for? Or would you be so distracted by, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did that you'd never get through the manuscript? What do you think?
I think I'd be too distracted. I would definitely need a critique partner. I think they're wonderful resources. I would definitely need a critique partner.
Oh, and let's talk a little bit about your Doctor Who. You're a big fan of Doctor Who. I think it plays into what you look for. You like sci-fi. You like all of that. So Doctor Who plays into it.
It does. It's just an awesome series. It's been around for 50 years now, and there's really nothing quite like it on TV.
You're going to have to
keep
that after
doctor's
me,
just
because I haven't,
such a
I haven't
cool
seen
character.
It yet. So you have to keep after me.
Oh.
However, I read a lot about it. Like, I read those glossy little magazines, like Entertainment Weekly is my Bible. I love the book reviews there, all of that. But I have seen, I think I'm supposed to dread whatever TARDIS is. I think I am, but now I forget. There's something really bad, like robots. Is it? I forget what it is. I'm just showing my ignorance. Don't you feel better now?
Because
I really need to check it out. I really do. But instead, I got sucked into another British series, which was Sherlock Holmes with Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm not sure if I'm saying
this. I love that series, too. And actually, the same guy who is the frontrunner for Doctor Who right now, he is the showrunner for Sherlock.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, you're just encouraging me to find time to watch it, but then I feel guilty because you don't have any time to do anything. Because here's the thing, okay, you can hear all you want about Jordy. You can hear about her getting up really early and how much time she spends, you know, working with clients or talking with editors or reading submissions or reading through queries, but you're also a freelance editor and PR director. Do you sleep? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, I try. It's not too bad. I try to be in bed by 10 o'clock. So 9:30, 10 o'clock, I try to fall asleep, but it doesn't always happen, so...
Well, yeah, I could see how it wouldn't, since you also like studying French and Japanese. You spend your time teaching yourself how to knit. And I love this about you. I love dogs. You love dogs. Big fan of dogs.
I do.
And we discovered that we're big fans of wolves, though neither of us own one. I just want to say that. I want to put it out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love wolves. They're awesome.
Which is where, I mean, Game of Thrones, that was one of my favorite things about it, is watching all those. I didn't pay as much attention to the humans, okay, as I did the wolves. I was like, oh, look, they're in the story. Now I'm going to watch it. That's my, and the whole thing is, I mean, if you could advise someone looking to be a literary agent, because you have a lot. I think you have a lot of experience. I can see what wonderful books you have on your site. Okay, you have enough experience. What would you tell someone looking to intern or looking to get in the business, so to speak?
I would say look at different agency websites. A lot of times they'll have a specific page that will tell you if they're currently looking for interns, or they might have an intern program and they might be accepting resumes at that time. Or just, you know, it couldn't hurt to email an agent and ask them if they have any open intern positions or if they might in the future.
A lot of times they do advertise it. I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it on several literary agents' blogs where they will literally advertise whenever they need interns. And the basic job of an intern, what would that be for our listening audience?
They would help us look at queries. Our interns, they help us look at queries, and they also look at partials and fulls for us, and most of that is second opinion, or like if we don't have time, we'll let them read something first just to see their initial reaction to it. Basically, it's reading and helping with the website if they can, with our website. That's about it for right now. We're really easy to work with, Brittany and I. So.
Right, and you have two fabulous interns. You have Sam and Louise.
And Caitlin.
Oh, you have another one. Okay. Somehow I managed to miss that because I'm a few eggs shy of an egg salad sandwich, but you knew that already.
No.
And then an assistant, because you were explaining this to me, an assistant is more likely to really more, they'll help maybe email people back.
And possibly, like, be in contact with clients if it's an emergency, that type of thing.
They're kind of lifesavers in a way, aren't they? I mean, given all that you do, but it's good to know. I mean, for anyone who's interested in querying you, it's good to know that the interns are there, but it's also good to know that you take such a personal interest because I've seen many, many times online, I've seen people say, well, someone else answered this. Like, I queried Jordy, for instance, because I think you personally respond to your queries in as much as you can. And is that a mammoth task?
It can be daunting at times. And Brittany and I, we've actually set up an auto-response. We feel bad about that, but it has to do with time management.
You can't feel bad about that. You can't. Look, I'm going to tell you as a writer, any response, even if it's like an auto-reject, even if you had that in place, I would be really grateful for it because the worst thing in the world is, I think it's just consideration on your part, the worst thing in the world is not knowing. And a lot of people will freak out if they don't get an auto-response. There's loads of writers who will freak out and say, wait a minute, did you get the auto-response? I didn't get the auto-response. Oh, my God, the world's ending. No, they're not quite like that. But I can understand where they're coming from because you're not always sure that it's gone through. So I say more power to you. You're making sure that they know at some point you're going to get to it. But you get backlogged.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And things can derail. That's the other thing is during the day, any number of things can actually derail you. Like, how hard is it for you during the work year, not during vacation, but during your work year to really schedule anything? And what I mean is, like, if you said, okay, Monday, I'm going to take an hour and I'm going to look at my queries. How can you even schedule that? Because anything could happen at any minute. Because it's not just about the submissions. It's about whenever a client, something may happen. They may not like the cover, or the editor may have inadvertently said something they misinterpreted. Okay? Any of those things, you have to run and take care of.
Right.
Are you able to schedule anything is what I'm getting at. Seriously. Are you able to go out and watch a movie, or do you have to save up the time to do it?
It's really hard to schedule things. I haven't been to the movies in a while. In fact, I'm probably spring. But it's really hard because, I mean, you can get an email from someone that you requested a partial or a full, and they may email you and say, hey, I've got an offer, or, you know, another agent is looking at this, and then you sort of have to rearrange your reading queue.
I didn't even think of that.
It can be hard to juggle.
Oh, that would be, because then you've got, like, average a week. I think the average is a week on that. You've got a week to juggle everything you already do and that submission if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow. Okay, look, before I forget, because I could talk to Jordy forever, we're going to have a very quick break. We will be back with more fantastic, lovely Jordy Albert, literary agent extraordinaire, here on WGGM. You are listening to Lydia's Literary Lowdown.
Hello, everyone. B. Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with B. Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs. But if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Orville Bird, musician extraordinaire. Visit him at orvillebird.com and get a hold of all of Orville's wonderful music.
Welcome back to Lydia's Literary Lowdown. I am here with the fantastic Jordy Albert, literary agent, as I said before the break, extraordinaire. Now, there is something that I think is a great opportunity for everyone to find out more about the BookerAlbertAgency.com. You should go there. Jordy's kind of wanting questions for a FAQ, right, Jordy?
Yes. We would like to put together an FAQ page with questions that hopefully we might not hear all the time, like query response time and things, because you could find that on queertracker.net and on our website. We try to be as efficient as we can, but if there's any other and any other questions that you would like us to answer, we'd love to get a page up.
Right, and yet it's not. Now, where do you want, if we have listeners who are coming up or have questions they'd love to ask, and we wanted to find the parameters here, this is a frequently asked questions on a literary agent's page. So, I mean, you don't really want to query Jordy. If you can think of any great questions, and preferably, this is just me being a snob, things that aren't asked all the time. Because, as Jordy mentioned, you can find her submission response times on querytracker.net. You can Google her and find out other interviews and anything that she's done. You should be following her on Twitter, BlueDragonfly81, because she does think, you know, that's one thing that we haven't covered that kind of drives me crazy at times. And because you're nice, you're just totally on the other side of it. You are obviously a warm, caring human being who loves what you do, right? But if, I think people, especially on Twitter, you are someone who is very responsive. If someone says something to you on Twitter, that's where I met you, you say something back. And it's kind of, does it ever shock you how many people kind of have this misconception that you won't speak to them because you're a literary agent and literary agents don't talk to the common folk? Or do you ever get that reaction?
No, I haven't. I haven't really come across that. It's really, really weird to me.
Because you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, nobody may have shown you that side of themselves, right? But it's there, Jordy. I swear it's there. Because I think the first time I tweeted you or said something to you, whenever you said something back to me, I was like, oh my God, a literary agent just said something to me. And that's where I get how other writers think, because it's amazing to think, you know, whenever you've submitted for a long time, and God knows, this is the crazy part. We writers forget about the fact that you as a literary agent have to go through everything we do. I mean, you really do. You have to pitch the work. You have to wait for someone to read the submissions that are sent out. And sometimes you have to wait a lot longer than you'd like. But making it more difficult is whenever I send something out, I'm sending to an agent like yourself. All I have to do is wait for you. You actually have a client
who's waiting too. Can that be nerve-wracking?
Yes, it can be frustrating at times because, you know, a couple months could go by and you don't have any word, and then you follow up and still nothing. So it's really sad because, you know, you have your client sitting on pins and needles wondering what's going on.
Yeah, but
and
the best feeling in the world
has to be when you do hear
from an editor. I mean, whenever an editor's hugely passionate in what you've got to offer, I bet that's a happy dance moment too.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'm like, oh, yay, I can call my client. They're, you know, it's really exciting.
Well, you know, that's one thing, and that's one reason, I think, especially if you're an aspiring author, you know, let's just get one thing straight. Obviously, on Twitter, it's for being friendly, okay? Although, I have to say, in Jordy's case, you have participated in things like, they go by different hashtags, but like Pitchmas, Pitnad, competitions that I actually mentioned on the show where someone has 140 characters to make a pitch and you look through them and I don't know, you're looking for voice, you're looking for originality, you're looking for a YA or NA romance set during World War II and or the 1920s with a time travel element, right? I mean, is that insane? Because I've never even asked you about this before. Whenever you have an event like Titman or Pitchmas on Twitter, is it crazy?
It's so much fun because, like, sometimes it's trending on Twitter, and like I try to be productive on those days, but it's really hard because you want to see the pitches. And
the thing is that if you are a writer and you have a complete and polished manuscript, preferably with a critique partner or beta readers, if they've already been through it and they say, okay, it's looking good, it's perfected, it's polished, it's as good as you can make it, you want to look. I know Brenda Drake, she's going to be on a week after next on the show, but she has contests.
Cool.
Yeah, Cupid's, well, I can't
she's
wait
awesome.
For her book.
Yeah,
Brenda
she's
Drake,
really awesome. I know,
jumper.
I'm excited. Mm-hmm.
I am too, because I was that girl, okay? The premise is killing me. I keep tweeting her and saying, why can't February be here already? Because I want library jumpers now. I was that girl. I wanted to go in the library and friggin' be taken away. Do you know what I mean? Not abducted by aliens. I'm just saying, if I could sink in between the covers of a book and live some of those experiences, preferably not Moby Dick, but I will take To Kill a Mockingbird, okay? If I could do that, I would have done that. So I'm really excited about that. But thank God my listeners are aware of the fact, and you too, Jordy, that I will get off on a tangent in no time flat. What I was saying is, Brenda Drake is one of the people who runs, I'm not sure, she's doing Pit Mad or Pitch Madness again this year. Jessa Rousseau and Fiki Snucker, a.k.a. Tamara Mataya, I think is her last name, they do
Pitchmas. Mm-hmm.
Right, and I actually, I've benefited from Pitchmas. I absolutely have. I got like 8 requests from last year on December. So, you need to do these things, people. That's what I'm saying. But I'm looking at it, I'm trying to look at it from your point of view, Jordy, because it is hopelessly addictive for me. Not because I'm not throwing out pitches left and right, but I am reading some of these just enormously tempting pitches that people come up with. I never thought 140 characters could add up to you frothing at the mouth wanting a book so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like being in a candy store for you?
Yeah, I've had to try to limit the requests I make. but, I mean, there, you know, I think I've mentioned during the contest that, you know, feel free to query me even if I didn't request your, you know, didn't, like, favorite your tweet or whatever. That doesn't mean I wouldn't take a look.
Right. And I mean, you know, you never know. I have to imagine that's one of the most fun things about what you do is you never know. I mean, titles can be totally misleading. So it's query and title, right? Whenever you open that email, I think the most fascinating thing is you have to know within a couple sentences if it's all gone wrong or not, okay? Like, I'm thinking about those cases where every agent you have ever heard of and some you've never heard of are all in the email. It's just kind of a forward, pardon me, to every agent you see. Or it's a dear Mr. Albert, okay? I mean, within a few sentences, you probably kind of know if people have been following guidelines or not. But that's not what I'm asking, because you get asked that stuff all the time. I'm really interested in, I don't want to call it kind of the rock star status, but like when you attend conferences, and you do attend conferences, you have a couple coming up, right?
Uh-huh. I'm going to be at the Greater Detroit Romance Writers of America meeting in 2 weeks, I think it is. And then I also have one coming up in Virginia in September, another RWA chapter meeting. So I'm excited. That'll be fun.
Yeah, but
and,
you're excited
Brittany,
for
Brittany
a totally
and I got
different
to go
reason.
To...
you are? No. I mean, I asked her about this, and she was like, oh, I love being around writers. But my interest was, I mean, we're writers. When there's a literary agent in the room, I don't think we all go feral and grow fangs. But I know there's just a little more decorum. Do you know what I mean? How does it feel whenever kind of people, is it really bizarre when people might be nervous to come up and pitch you?
I don't know, because it's intimidating for me. To be around everybody.
Do you have any idea how happy you've made loads of writers by saying that?
But no, seriously, it's intimidating because I look at it, you know, that I'm just a fan of books, and you know, I just happen to be privileged enough to, you know, have clients and have the opportunity to help them get their work published. So,
yeah, but that's intimidating for me. You don't understand that the last thing a lot of writers would expect to hear. You know, I'm all over the web. I'm one of those people who will get lost on agent or publishing blog sites for hours, literally hours, reading everything I can on the subject. And to hear someone, you know, normally you're going to get, I look forward to it so much. I love dealing with writers. But if you only knew the great impression that you're making right now on writers who, because there can be kind of a curmudgeonly view after you've submitted long enough. And when any given writer comes across this interview with you, you just show a caring that I think sometimes is mistakenly thought doesn't exist for agents. Is that something you've had to contend with often, where people are kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say reverent because, you know, that doesn't sound right. But I have seen people who have been absolutely shocked when an agent would tweet them back. One thing you don't want to do, other than the contest that I mentioned or I try to let you know about every week, you don't want to tweet a pitch to Jordy directly. You don't want to pitch any agent just randomly on Twitter. And the only reason I put it out there is because if I didn't know better, I would probably make that mistake. You listeners probably will not. But it's kind of not good if you do that. But do look up Brenda Drake. Cupid's Literary Connection is another great resource. Jessa Rousseau, Figgy Snuffer. I'm always in trouble when I have to say her name because I'm terrified. Yeah, I'm not really. Yeah, I can get tongue twisted very easily. Look for those because then you have the opportunity to give Jordy a holler, which would be fantastic. But, okay, do you, whenever you go to a conference, do you have to, do you participate in panels? Do you have to get up and speak?
I have a couple times. I was at the Pen Writers Conference, and I was part of the agent panel there. That was actually the first one I participated in, and it was fun. I got to meet other agents, and that's always cool. So.
Oh, is it like, seriously, because I know what happens when writers get together. Okay, we talk about what we're working on. There isn't this gossip. Do you know what I mean? I know I've heard it said many times that literary agents, it's a fairly small community. It has to be just magnificent to get together and chat with other literary agents.
It's always fun getting to hear what they're up to and, you know, learn about their recent deals and things. So, and you know, it's always nice to make a connection because then you might see them at another conference and, you know, you'll strike up a conversation and say, you know, how's it going?
So. Since you like fresh, well-developed plots featuring travel and you go to conferences, is travel something else you'd like to do more of? I feel kind of bad even asking because you're so busy. How do you fit in, you know, maybe even a three-day conference? Does that cause chaos with your schedule?
No, not really, because I'll take reading along.
Oh, my God.
I'll read in the hotel room when I'm not doing stuff, so...
You're hurting me. But that's interesting. It's the same thing on vacation. On vacation, you catch up with your reading as well.
Yeah, I took my Kindle along with a couple of submissions to read.
Okay, are you trying to fool me now, Jordy? Are you trying to fool me? Was it 2 submissions or was it 4? Was it 6 or was it 10?
No, it was 2 or 3. I mean, because they were full submissions, so I didn't think I'd be able to get through both of them.
And does it work any differently when you're running your own agency? Does it work any differently or not in you being able to schedule a vacation?
I don't know. We sort of follow... Brittany and I sort of follow what we learned coming up as interns. But it's really hard to schedule anything like we talked about earlier because,
right.
You know, you never know what's going to come up.
I kind of like the thought of you on a beach somewhere, though. I just like the thought of it. You can have, I don't know if you can drag your DVR along. I'm not sure about that. But I like the thought of you throwing a stick to a dog somewhere on a nice beach. I mean, I love reading. Don't get me wrong. I love reading. I know you love reading because you wouldn't be in this business if you didn't. But my God, woman, that's one of the things that plagues me about being a literary agent because I do read so many interviews if I'm not interviewing literary agents myself. When do you ever get time off? Because I swear, even over the holidays, you're reading.
Yeah, I run around holidays.
Well, I just think, my God, when does it stop? Does it ever stop? And I'm not saying, my God, Jordy, you need to retire. You need to retire early. You need to have loads of bestsellers, and then you can retire early because you know what? You love this. So I don't think you'd do it. Even if the president told you, you might want to consider scaling back a little bit, Jordy. That said, I guess I just think to myself is you have to be incredibly dedicated to read every single day, to have to pitch. Because the thing is, you also have to be creative. So you may say that you have writer's block.
the fact of the matter is you also have to pitch to editors. I mean, that's done via writing, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to have some talent is what I'm getting through to you.
Yeah, I have fabulous clients who help, too. I bounce ideas off them, and they send me stuff. And so we sort of work together to get things ready.
So is that I mean, the process of actually submitting to an editor, is that something that takes a while depending on the work? Is it kind of, I would think that's almost like, I mean, who you're going to accept as a client one day. I don't think real statistics are needed on that because it varies so much. The same as submitting. If you're every author you've probably taken out on submission differ, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've heard back in 2 to 3 weeks. Other times it's been 6 months.
Right. And I mean, I think that's one thing. Whenever you want kind of people to submit to frequently asked questions, that might be one that's kind of, there's no set reply, just like an advance. You can't tell any of your clients what kind, to the number, you can't tell them what kind of advance they're going to get. That's one of those odd little myths that seem to permeate. You can't do that. And working on contracts and royalties, it differs from everyone. So I would, just trying to be helpful, I would leave that sort of thing like, okay, what are your submission time to editors? Or what editors are you going to submit to? This is just me, and I don't think it belongs on a frequently asked question page because it differs so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can't really tell. And I always, you know, I try to follow up, and when I follow up, it still takes, you know, a couple weeks to get a response, or unfortunately, I might not get a response, so I have to follow up again, and I try to keep in touch with the editor and find out where find out the status of the submission as best I can to keep my client informed. I mean, because sometimes... I know the editors haven't had a chance to read the manuscript yet.
Right. I mean, it is. I mean, do you ever kind of objectively stand back and say, "This is the best job in the world, and I'm so lucky I get to be in it"? Do you ever have a chance to do that because you're so busy all the time?
Yeah, every day.
Oh, see, okay, now I'm mollified. Now I will never bug you again about lack of vacation time. Because as long as at the end of every day you could say, I love this business and I'm so proud to be part of it, I think that's the essence of you. You know, I'm not going to ask you for a definition of what voice is because I think it's just fraught with peril. I will say this, your voice on this show has shown through to, I think, really paint a portrait of what most literary agents are like. Well-spoken, considerate, go through a lot of the same things the writers do. You've really done, I think, your whole profession a solid today. I really do. But are you going to be able to take a nap after? That's all I want to know.
Maybe, I don't know. I have some stuff I should probably work on.
Somehow I knew that was going to be the answer. I can hope, though, and I can continue to pray. Jordy, I cannot thank you enough for being on the show. You've just given everyone a new window into what being a literary agent, what sacrifices you make, and the rewards you gain for doing so.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It has on my behalf. You got through my mush mouth, and I offer you nothing more than congratulations.
Well, thanks so much. It was nice to get to chat with you.
Thank you. You try and have a good day, and, you know, at least get to bed reasonably. That's all I ask.
I will try, definitely.
Okay, you take care. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Cindy.
Okay, everybody, next week we're going to have the lovely editor Monique Happy on the show. She also writes, I have a soft spot for zombies. She has a soft spot for zombies. It's going to be a magnificent show. Make sure to tune in next week and catch the lovely Monique Happy. We're so happy to be having her. And thanks again to Jordy Albert for appearing on the show. Check her out, Blue Dragonfly 81 on Twitter, the BookerAlbertAgency.com. Everybody, have a great week. We'll be back next week with Monique Happy. You've been listening to Lydia's Literary Lowdown here on WGGM.